Friday, October 19th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. Try not to get too emotional. Just try to look at sports logically, which I think you know. If you're listening to much sports talk radio, yeah, you don't usually find that. If you're watching some of the big sports media outlets, you're not going to find a lot of common sense. You're going to find a lot of emotion. You're going to find a lot of silly hot takes. We try to steer away from those, and hopefully we can make you smile once or twice a day. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Friday to you. Yes, we have made it to Friday. That is a very, very good thing. First off, if you would like to contact us, maybe let us know the things you're planning on doing this weekend. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosports. Doesn't even have to be sports related. If you've got a question, you've got a comment, maybe you need some advice, we would love to hook you up. Feel free to reach out. Let's hear what it is that you have to say. Hey, today on the show, as we have done all week, we do have a flashback episode for you as we look back at a podcast from back in January of 2015. Now, at this point, we had done the radio show for almost a year, but this was only like our fifth or sixth podcast episode that we'd ever done. It does sound a little different. In this show, we will discuss the NFL playoffs at the time. We will discuss the college football national championship game, and we hand out a few college football awards. And you know, with my Denver Broncos at the time getting pounded in the playoffs and losing a playoff game, we actually have today on this Friday a very therapeutic Daily Dose Top 5 for you. Sit back and relax. I hope you enjoy this throwback episode of the Daily Dose. Wednesday, January 14, 2015, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, we release a new podcast episode every Wednesday, bring you a different outlook on the sports stories that you want to hear about. You know, you can go download the podcast from a number of different places. You can go to iTunes. You can go to Podomatic. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to podcastdirectory.com, and you can find the podcast a number of different places. Listen to it when it's convenient for you. A lot of crazy stories coming out. A lot of different things happening in sports. Today, we are going to touch on a number of those. We're going to talk heavy NFL today. Denver Broncos are out. If you know me here in Denver, yes, I died a little inside. I'm not going to lie to you. I died a little bit inside. We're going to talk a little bit about the college football championship game that took place on Monday night. Very interesting game and some things to look forward to based on that game. We're going to talk a little about the NBA today. Got a couple stories coming out about the NBA that we want to make sure to get to. And as usual, we have our Daily Dose Top 5, a very, very popular segment here on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. You don't want to miss this today. If you're a sports fan, if you are a fan of sports, trust me on this. You don't want to miss the Daily Dose Top 5 today. It is something that is going to help you. It's going to help you. Just, you're going to have to take my word on that, but it's going to help you. You know, it's a crazy week. The Broncos got knocked out of the playoffs on Sunday. And then, as though that wasn't enough breaking news, you know, they were the number two seed going in. They get knocked out of the playoffs. Then, come, you know, Monday and Tuesday, all of a sudden we've got, you know, everything breaking loose with the Denver Broncos. They fired their whole coaching staff. Everybody's out. Did you wear your lucky shirt on Sunday? What happened? What happened? Did you not do, are you one of those superstitious fans when your team's getting ready to play? You put on the lucky shirt. You eat the same meal. You wear the lucky socks. Do you do that stuff? Do you do that stuff? I have known people. I'm not mentioning any names, but I have known people that are very, very superstitious when it comes to those kind of things. Do you do those things? What's your superstition? I would love to hear from you and you tell me what your superstition is before the game. Some people I know, they drink out of a lucky cup, or they drink the same drink, or they eat the same meal. I know someone, and I know someone that I used to back in the day hang with. They cut themselves shaving one time before a big game. And so every time before a big game, they insisted they had to cut themselves shaving that day. Don't hurt yourself. Just trying to get rid. Let me give you some advice when it comes to that kind of thing. Let me give you some advice. And I'm just throwing this out there. Again, My goal is to help you, sports fan. My goal is to help you. Daily Dose listener, I know I have a smart audience, so I am trying to help you. If you are going to use these superstitions and help, and it's going to matter. It's going to help. Your lucky jersey, your lucky shirt, your lucky socks, whatever it might be. Don't waste it on these games. Use it on the lottery. Because that is going to pay off for you. If the Broncos win their game, it's nice. It's nice. But it doesn't really help you in your personal life. Use these lucky tricks that you have to go get the right lotto numbers, and it would really, really pay off for you a lot more. Got some breaking news coming out today. The Buffalo Bills have signed head coach Rex Ryan. And Rex Ryan predicts that the Bills are going to get to the playoffs. He says that they're going to be the bully. And I've heard enough from you, Rex Ryan. I don't need to hear any more from you. What I would like to hear from Rex Ryan is silence. That would be something new that I haven't seen before. I don't know that this is a great hire. And I know that we actually do have a couple Buffalo Bill fans that listen to the Daily Dose. I'm sorry to break this to you. I don't think this is a great hire, and I'm going to tell you why. Rex Ryan, what is he known for? Usually brings a very good defense. Usually has a really, really good defense. Usually really struggles on offense and really struggles understanding how to put his quarterback in situations where they can be successful. Does this sound familiar at all, Buffalo? That's what you already have. That's why I really am concerned about this hire. He needs to go get a really good offensive guy for the offensive side of the ball. Because if he doesn't, you're going to be exactly what the Jets were last year. It's the same thing. He can coach defense, can't coach offense, and you don't have a quarterback up there. Geno Smith, EJ Manuel, kind of the same guy. The Oakland Raiders are very, very close to signing Denver Broncos defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio. Del Rio is a Oakland guy. From what I understand, I believe his parents are even Oakland season ticket holders. What I don't know if his parents are, you know, if they're the ones dressing up in you know, Star Wars outfits. I don't know that. But he is a Raider guy. I expect that to be probably done by the end of today. Speaking of the New York Jets have hired defensive coordinator Todd Bowles. So they're going to get more defense in New York. Wouldn't you think the Jets would go get some offense instead of Smith? You had defense. They have a pretty decent, their defense is not horrible up there. You would think, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way. I don't know. Miami last night, college hoops. Miami crushes Duke last night. The Blue Devils took one on the chin last night as Miami ran them out their own gym. And when I look at the college basketball landscape, and we haven't gotten into college hoops much yet here on the Daily Dose. Trust me, we will. But we haven't gotten into too much college hoops yet. But when I look at college hoops this year, the problem I have is you have Kentucky number one, and then like nothing, and then like at 10, Duke, and then everybody else. Like Kentucky is so far ahead of everyone else right now. Well, they pay well. They pay well. Let's jump into the NFL and get into this. You know, I started getting nervous on Sunday afternoon. And in fact, I spoke to a couple people and I said, I'm getting really nervous as the Denver Broncos were getting ready to play. Because up until that point, I was 3-for-3 on my picks. Not only was I 3-for-3, but I was even correct in how the games were going to go down. I mean, I said, I think the Ravens are going to scare the Patriots, but the Patriots will come out on top. They have too much. They'll end up finding ways to score and they'll end up winning the game. Exactly what happened. I said, Carolina, honestly, I know they won. They have no business being here. Seattle is going to run them off the field on Saturday night. It took place. Sunday morning, I said, I expect Dallas, because they are balanced, Dallas is going to give them a game, but I just think Packers at home is going to be too much. Oh, no. I'm three for three. Now I'm starting to get nervous. Now this is starting to, and sure enough, I had every reason to be nervous. You know, it started out good. The Broncos get a 3-and-out from the Indianapolis Colts. They go right down the field, 7 plays, 68 yards. Peyton Manning throws the touchdown. And then it all went downhill. It all went downhill. You know, if you take away that opening drive, and you take away that last minute drive at the very, very end, garbage time didn't matter, wasn't counting when they were driving, but they didn't get anything out. If you take those two drives out, both of which were completely meaningless. The Colts outgained the Broncos 364 to 163. The game plan was horrible. Defensively, they basically sagged back on everything. We're going to sag back. We're going to see if Andrew Luck can pick us apart. I've got news for you. Yes, he can. Didn't make any sense. The pass rush, I told you I thought the key to the game was how often would the Broncos blitz? Would they do more than just send their front four? No, they didn't. They sagged. They stayed back. They just rushed with their four. I don't know if it's arrogance. I don't know if they felt like, well, we have four that they're, we're going to get to you with our four, so we don't need to bring anyone else. But I've got news for you. You needed more. You couldn't go with just, finally late, they started bringing one or two here and there, but they never forced Andrew Luck to make throws before he was ready to. You know, they didn't sack him one single time. You went and got all this defense. You went and got, DeMarcus Ware. You went and got Aqib Talib. You went and got these defenders, TJ Ward, completely invisible on Sunday. They didn't have anything on Sunday. No pass rush, no blitz. Maybe Jack Del Rio was busy looking at condos in Oakland. I don't know what he was doing because it didn't look like we had any sort of a game plan ready. And then, you know, the next day, you know, we started getting some news because apparently, you know, Peyton Manning looked horrible. Peyton Manning looked horrible. And I love Peyton. I think he's a phenomenal quarterback. I love Peyton. He was awful. He didn't look like he could compete. And then the next day, they came out and they said, well, you know, he had a quad tear. And that's why he was so bad. And I understand a little bit of that. I'll hear a little bit of that. Because a quad tear for a guy that needs his legs, because he doesn't have the arm that he used to, if he ever did, he uses his legs more than the average quarterback. So I'll listen to that a little bit. A quad tear? What are you, a sprinter? How did you tear your quad? He doesn't run. So when did the quad tear, was that the hit that he took in San Diego? Back like a month ago, was that the quad tear? It's not like he runs much. If it's true, to some degree, you don't hear much about quad tears. That tells me that's got to be a little bit a circumstance of old age, does it not? I mean, because you don't just tear your quad. It's a huge muscle. You don't just tear your quad. I'm not going to say it's not true. I'm not going to say it's not true. But if it's true, then why did you throw the ball 46 times and only run 20 times? That doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, we know he's got a quad tear. We know he's on one leg. He's gimping around. Okay, then it better be run heavy. I better see CJ Anderson inside. I better see Hillman going outside. I better see. That's not what they did. That tells me that they didn't plan very well if that was the case. I don't know. Now, the Broncos have a ton of questions. The Broncos have a ton of questions they're going to have to answer. You've got the whole coaching staff gone. Let's move forward. The game, probably the game of the weekend, was Ravens at Patriots. The New England Patriots come back from 14 points down, not just once, they did it twice. They did it with some trick plays. They did it with some weird formation. And I'll tell you what, Bill Belichick, he is phenomenal at scheming to show the strengths of his team and hide the weaknesses of his team. Doesn't have a running game, he'll find a way. Doesn't have always the offensive line, he's going to scheme and do some different things, and he is not afraid to try some really, really weird things. Saturday night, probably the worst game of the weekend. Carolina at Seattle. The Seahawks just crushed the Panthers. It was almost like they were playing a 7-9 team. Cam Newton can make you run the gamut of emotions on the exact same play. Cam, you had one job. Don't turn it over. And he turned it over three times. I know that Seattle, I know they are starting to look like the team to beat. And maybe they are. Maybe they are. But I want to see them play a quarterback at some point. You know, the last quarterback they played. And I looked this up. This is kind of surprising. The last genuine, decent quarterback they played. Tony Romo back in October. Here is the quarterbacks. Here is the who's who that the Seahawks have played since then. Cam Newton, Sean Hill, Colin Kaepernick, Ryan Lindley, Mark Sanchez, Eli Manning, Alex Smith. Can I see them play any decent? They haven't played a decent quarterback all year. I'm going back to Tony Romo as the best quarterback that they've. Do you realize how insane that is? Tony Romo is the good one. I mean, it really is kind of crazy. And the bad thing is this week you say, okay, well, this week they're finally going to play a good quarterback. Yeah, on one leg. Aaron Rodgers has exactly one leg. So I don't know how good of a quarterback he's going to be this week either. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, the Sunday morning game, Dallas at Green Bay, phenomenal game too. And Dallas looked like they might blow Green Bay out in the first half. They're up 14-7. They have a field goal. They're going to go up 17-7. They have a penalty. False start. Backs them up. Kick gets blocked. Then they're up 14-10. DeMarco Murray breaks through the line. Looks like he's probably going to go the distance. Fumbles the ball. Gets it stripped. Julius Peppers strips it out. I mean, if you're up 17-7, if you're up 21-10, this feels like a completely different game, and it might have got away from him. And of course, the big play everyone is talking about, Green Bay late in the game, up 26-21, about 4 minutes left. Cowboys at the Green Bay 32, 4th and 2. You have DeMarco Murray, who is probably the guy on the team. He's probably the guy. I want the ball in his hands in that situation, 4th and 2. They go with the play action. Romo throws it deep. Gets it to Dez Bryant. Now, first and foremost, the throw to Dez Bryant, if it is complete, you probably score too early because Aaron Rodgers probably goes right back down the field. If I'm Dallas, I'm considering we run this, we get the first down, I work some clock, we keep running, I work some clock, we score late, and we win this game. The throw downfield, I understand it's gutsy. I don't know how smart it is. Because the percentage of the play getting completed is low. Much, much lower. Anyways, Romo throws it to Dez Bryant, catches it. He's out at the one. They review it, and it looks like it's actually not a catch. Dez didn't complete the catch. Ball's moving. No catch. Turnover on downs. Game is over. So the ref screwed the Cowboys, right? I mean, the refs took this away from the Cowboys. This was a done deal, and the refs took away from the Cowboys. I'm getting really, really tired of every week. We've had two great weeks of playoff football in the NFL, and the biggest stories we're talking about is the officials. Stop using the officials as the excuse your team didn't win. Stop whining about the officials. First off, in this game, and this isn't the first time we've seen it. First time in the game, by rule, this is the right call. The ball is moving. And it's not like this hasn't happened before. Remember 2010, Calvin Johnson catches the pass against the Bears. As he starts to stand up, he kind of lets the ball go. It almost looked like it was a celebration thing. I caught it. I'm letting it go. I'm going to celebrate. They ruled you let the ball go. You didn't complete the catch. Everything about it looked like a catch. It looked more like a catch than this did. No, didn't get it. No touchdown. So it's not like this hasn't happened before. And I've heard some coaches talk about, they actually talk to their wide receivers, do not make that play. Do not let the ball go. Do not reach for extra yards. Make sure you secure the catch first. Because we know how the rule is. You might not like the rule, whatever. But the fact is, in this situation, you didn't complete the catch. You might not like the rule, but it is the rule and it is correct. I don't know how you change it, though, because otherwise, what constitutes a catch? I can't just say, it kind of looks like a catch. I mean, well, hey, all the guys at the bar said it's a catch. I can't do that. There's got to be something that constitutes a catch. And when I see the ball moving, it's not a catch. You didn't have control of the ball. It's moving. I have heard, Dez was just penalized for trying to reach across the goal line, and that's unfair that because he's making an athletic play that he's penalized for it. I got news for you. If a guy is diving for the end zone and reaching for the end zone and the ball gets knocked out and he fumbles, it's the same thing. He got penalized for making an athletic move. Yeah, too bad. Secure the catch. Complete the catch. Every single week we're hearing about these refs because we're this instant gratification society. The refs didn't cost Detroit the game 2 weeks ago. Score more than 3 points in the second half. The refs didn't cost Dallas on Sunday. You had Aaron Rodgers running around on one leg and you couldn't sack him more than one time? You couldn't get to him. He has one leg. How do you not sack him more than once? Remember my Christmas wish? I didn't want the Seahawks or the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Going to end up with both of them, aren't we? Going to end up with both of them. Just going to upset me, get me fired up. Hey, college football. Let's talk about the national championship game a little bit. You know, Ohio State didn't start very strong. Actually, they didn't start strong at all. If you didn't see it, the flag girl running out, you know, they spell out O-H-I-O, tripped and fell. And so they spelled O-H-I to start the game. And then on the opening drive, Oregon goes right down the field. 75 yards, 11 plays, looked like they could do anything they wanted. They were getting runs up inside. They were getting runs to the edge. Mariota looked sharp. He was hitting receivers whenever he wanted. The spread offense was at its finest on that first drive. And then Ohio State punched them in the mouth for the next few drives, and Oregon had no answer. Oregon just had no answer. Ohio State outscored them 42-13 after that initial drive. And the thing that stood out to me the most, and I'm not saying that the spread offense and I'm not saying that stuff can't work, but what stood out to me was the most was that it all starts up front. And Urban Meyer builds these athletic, physical offensive lines and defensive lines that get it done up front. And that's what they did. They hit Mariota. And I know you might have saw the one play. Defensive lineman is chasing down Mariota. Maybe a late hit. Probably should have been flagged. But you know what it was? It was a message. We're going to hit you. And if we take the penalty, we take the penalty. Go ahead and call the penalty. It didn't matter. Because they punched Mariota in the mouth. And Oregon couldn't do anything about it. Urban Meyer completely outcoached Helfrich in that game. Wasn't even close. And if you give Meyer enough time with a decent team, he's going to beat them. Ezekiel Elliott goes for 246. The defense never let Marcus Mariota get into a rhythm. You know, the Ducks went 2-12 on third down. And then, you know, I heard some people talking about, well, why didn't Oregon take the field goals when they had the chance? They had a couple. That's not who they are. That's not what they do. They've done that all year. But it's different when you're facing a team that is physically just outmanning you. And that's what it really seemed to be on Monday night. Ohio State just enforced their will and did what they wanted to do on Monday night. And that was the story of the game, Ohio State national champions. We're going to hand out a couple awards here. We've got a few awards that we want to hand out. End of college football season. We've got to give a few awards out, as we do here on the Daily Dose. Couple end-of-year awards. And we have the advantage, because a lot of these awards that are handed out by college football, they're handed out back at the end of the regular season. I can do whatever I want. So I'm going to hand out my awards here at the end of everything. Now that we've seen how everything unfolds, I'm going to hand out some awards. So the Daily Dose Heisman Trophy, I'm going to give, obviously, to Ohio State running back Ezekiel Elliott. Think about this for a second. Ohio State basically played three playoff games, because if they would have lost the Big Ten championship game, they're not going any further. Then they played the semifinals. Then they went to the national championship. In those three games, Ezekiel Elliott had 696 yards, almost 700 yards in three games. Ezekiel Elliott's my Heisman Trophy winner of the year. Coach of the Year, I think, is pretty obvious. It's got to be Urban Meyer. The job he did with Ohio State, taking not just, okay, first-string quarterback, okay, great. Go to the second-string quarterback, okay. They lose the second. Go to the third-string quarterback and somehow find a way to push all the way to the national championship game and win it all. Urban Meyer has to be your Coach of the Year. But I'm going to give an honorable mention. I'm going to give an honorable mention to Gary Patterson. Gary Patterson down at TCU went through the season. TCU gets snubbed. And the reason I'm going to give them this award is because when they got snubbed, they could have pouted. They could have whined. Well, they did pout and they did whine. But they went out in the bowl game and they whipped Ole Miss the way that they should and hung about 50 on Ole Miss. So I'll give Gary Patterson at least a nod and like a sandwich, because he looks like he's hungry. I got a couple more awards here I want to give. I'm going to give the Dan Hawkins Award this year. If you don't know what the Dan Hawkins Award is, it is the coach that takes kind of that mid-major and they win a few games. They don't look great, but they win a few games and they transfer that mid-major job into a huge job and a huge contract. And so the Dan Hawkins Award, you might remember Dan Hawkins. He was up at Boise State. He had built Boise State up into a little bit, wasn't as strong as they ended up being under Chris Peterson, but he built him up into a little bit. And then he transferred that job into a big contract up to the University of Colorado, where he failed, abysmally and ended up getting fired. Now I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but here's the guy up at Colorado State in Fort Collins. Jim McElwain transfers his salary up at Colorado State, $1.5 million. To $3.5 million to go coach the Gators down in the University of Florida. The Dan Hawkins Award easily goes this year to Jim McElwain. Can he coach? I don't know. Seems like a decent guy. I hope he can. It'd be kind of neat to see him go from CSU down to Florida and do well. I know he is, though. He transferred that into some big, big money. We will see how that turns out. One more award we got. Oh, no, we got a couple. The Andre Ware Award. And the reason I'm going to give the Andre Ware Award, this is a bust coming into the NFL, but only due to the system. He'll end up having success. He'll end up being fine, but due to the system he played in, I feel like he could be a bust in the NFL. And I'm sorry, because I really like the kid, but Oregon, Marcus Mariota has to be the guy. I don't know if he can make the reads. He has some tools. He has some ability. But all the running and all that stuff at the next level, especially if he gets drafted by a terrible team like Tampa or Tennessee or someone like that, where he goes to a bad team, I don't know if all that's going to transfer to the NFL. And so I give it the Andre Ware Award, because Andre Ware, you might remember, came out of Houston, Heisman winner, didn't quite pan out in the NFL, couldn't make all the reads, couldn't do all those things. Still had some success. He's a broadcaster on ESPN. Good guy. Seems like he still has some success. So I'm going to give that to Marcus Mariota. I don't know if he can make all the reads at the next level. The last award I'm going to give for college football this year, the last award, is the Fighting Irish Award. What is the Fighting Irish Award, you might be wondering? It's for the most overrated team in college football. Of course, this has to go to the Oklahoma Sooners. They were the preseason number 4. They ended up going 8-5. They lost 48-14 to Baylor. They lost 40-6 in their bowl game to Clemson. Way to quit. The Fighting Irish Award of the Year goes to the Oklahoma Sooners. Congratulations, Bob Stoops. You win again. Hey, let's move on to the Daily Dose Top 5. We do this every single week. Like I said, it is a popular segment on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. We are going to do a Daily Dose Top 5 today, and it's a little bit different. I'm going to be honest. It's kind of groundbreaking what we're doing here on the Daily Dose Top 5 today. It's different than maybe what you've come to expect. We touch on a lot of different things. Might be, it might be some history like it was last week. Might be something different. This week we got something different. And you might not think you need this, but trust me, if you're a sports fan, you need this Daily Dose Top 5. This is the 5 stages of sports fan grief. You need to recognize when a season ends in disappointment, you can consult this list. Because here's the thing. You have your favorite teams. Maybe it's your favorite pro team. Maybe it's your favorite college team. Maybe it's NHL. Maybe it's NBA. Maybe it's NFL. It doesn't matter. Maybe it's your high school team. Maybe it's your kids team. Maybe it's your kids little league team. Makes no difference. At some point, you are going to deal with the fact that your favorite team loses. They lose the big game. They miss the playoffs. They get knocked out of the playoffs. They lose the Super Bowl. They lose the biggest game, whatever it might be. And you need to understand and know yourself well enough that you can recognize the 5 stages of sports fan grief when your team gets knocked out. And I'm gonna give you some things to look for, give you some signs, some things to recognize, and you can work your way through the 5 stages of sports fan grief. Stage one, denial. And you might see the characteristics of this. You'll see somebody pacing back and forth. This even starts during the game. I can't believe we're gonna lose this team. I can't believe that we haven't done this. You will hear some different phrases when they're in denial. We're giving this away. We're giving this game away. It's the refs. It's the refs. The refs are just out to get us. It's just the refs. If the refs hadn't called that, denial. You're talking to yourself. You're pacing. It's a frustration thing. Denial. That is stage one. You move on from denial. You move to stage two. Anger. Some of those characteristics, you start throwing things. You start snapping at people. You start breaking furniture. You start kicking pets around. I have seen friends try to walk out into traffic because they're so angry. I have friends who shall remain nameless who have set up certain tools and tried to throw themselves onto the tools to impale themselves on the tools. And you know, it's funny because we watched the Bronco game with some friends, and on the way home, I had the Packers Cowboys game tuned on the radio for the drive down there. And as we're coming home, I'm listening, and I never listen to stuff, but I was listening to the post game, you know, Bronco hotline, coming home, and the fans, a lot of fans calling in, they were in stage two anger. And so what you were hearing, it wasn't bad enough that you were hearing they need to fire the coach and they need to cut Peyton May. They were going to a whole different level, and they need to take that stadium and burn it to the ground and dig a hole and burn the land. I mean, they lost their mind. You'll notice this phrase, a lot of swearing, don't talk to me right now. A lot of these are tears of anger. I'm not crying. That's anger. That's stage two, anger. You'll recognize it. It's easy to spot. I'm a little bit still stage two right now. I won't lie. A little bit stage two. Stage three, you know, in stages of grief, questioning. And you'll see this, that people, the sports fan is not sleeping. He's waking up early. She's got her head in her hands. Why do I watch this? Why do I put myself through this? How could we lose? We were better than they were. I don't understand. Does God hate me? I don't. Why do we watch these teams? I don't understand why do I have a favorite team? Should I just spend more time with my family and not watch this stupid sport? Questioning. I'm not too questioning yet, but I'm getting closer. Give me a couple weeks. Stage four in the stages of grief, acceptance. And you start getting your appetite back. You start noticing the sun is still out. Your sleep patterns go back to normal. You start sleeping a little better. And then what you start hearing these kind of phrases. You start hearing, you know what, we have some flaws. Our coaches weren't prepared. They weren't ready. They didn't have the best game. And we have some holes to fill. And I was so much a fan that I was kind of blind to the fact that, you know, our defense wasn't as good as I thought it was, or our quarterback, he kind of struggled when it was a lot of blitzes, he kind of struggled. And you start seeing the acceptance and people start to come to terms with the fact that maybe it wasn't the refs and nobody was out to get you. You weren't quite as good as you thought you were. Acceptance. And finally, stage five. On our Daily Dose top five stages of sports fan grief to help you recognize yourself. Stage five, blind stupidity. And you might say, what are you talking about? We got to the acceptance part. We've reached, here's the blind stupidity. And you'll notice this, the blood pressure goes up. You start breathing a little heavier. You start sweating a little more. You start getting, you know, the pulses racing a little bit. And you start saying things like this. Next year is going to be our year. Did you see this free agent we just signed? Have you seen our draft picks? Do you know how much better this finally is going to be our year? Oh, we're going to the Super Bowl this year. This is it. That blind stupidity. You're probably not going to do any better. You're probably going to do worse. But now you've moved on and you're on to that next season. And the biggest phrase that you have as a sports fan is there's always next year. Hey, you know, I hope you enjoyed our look back at some Daily Dose episodes from the past. You know, this week we played some of the first episodes that we had ever done when we got started on the podcast. The show has evolved. We continue to work hard to try to bring you a different take on the world of sports than you get anywhere else. Next week, we will be back to our usual format of the Dose, and we will be keeping you up on the latest and greatest in the world of sports news. We have a ton to catch up on. Can't wait for next week. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Friday. For all of you that share the show, that text us, that email us, that share the podcast maybe on social media, thank you so much. It is genuinely appreciated. Hey, if you're not subscribed to the Daily Dose, make sure you hit that little follow or subscribe button wherever you listen to make sure you don't miss a single episode. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.